Ars Electronica 2008. A new cultural economy.
Okay. I'm the last guy for the before the next break. So, just one more. Hello, welcome. My name is Tim Pritlove. Thanks for inviting me here, Joey. I'm very happy to speak here. And we have been discussing before how I might fill the slot talking about cultural economy. And well, I have this very particular example that I'm going to roll out here. But I'm taking a slightly broader approach first by explaining where I come from and what my general community is that I'm moving in. So that's why I called this talk Creative Chaos, and I'm talking about a bit of about hacking in general. So I want to explain why I consider hacking and probably even activism as an art form in general. So hopefully this works. No, it doesn't. Why? Here we go. So hackers, I hope you are already afraid. You know, hackers, ooh. Hackers are probably one of the most misunderstood cultures of the 20th century so far. You know, the bad guys, those who break in, steal your stuff, and generally behave not the way you would expect them to behave, doing bad things. Well, for some of them that might be true, but in general, it's not true, and this doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? So, we just had a discussion yesterday when I arrived. And it was again this, you know, hackers are breaking in. And I totally opposed this view of hackers being the guys who are breaking in. They're not breaking in, but they are breaking things. Their general approach in dealing with the outside world is not accepting the limits that are given to you once you approach something. So there is this black box, this thingy that says, well, here I am, and I have just one way to work. Accept it. Live with it. And the hacker approach is to just say no to this approach. The hacker wants to break it, but not by, you know, not to get inside and do strange things. It's more understanding it, understanding how it works. And that's the very same approach for the whole world. So the hacker approaches the world, breaks it apart to understand how it works in order to find out what you can do with it that you are not expected to do in the first place. So the hacker spirit is pure innovation on its own. And I would expect every innovator to attach this hacking spirit to the way he's dealing with things. On the other hand, hackers are concerned citizens, and I would say hackers are artists by design. So let me explain a bit from where I come from. I am associated with an organization called the Chaos Computer Club, which also sounds very scary because chaos is in general considered to be a bad thing. You know, chaos on the streets. Well, that's what the newspaper says. Probably has only rained for a few hours or snow was in the city. But, you know, it's chaos that was coming. Ooh, and everybody is so afraid. Chaos. But on the other hand, we all know that you've seen the pictures of, you know, the flash pictures under the bed. It's all chaos. Everywhere you look, it's like the general, the default form. So the Chaos Computer Club took this name and tries to be the Gallic Village within this hacker stereotype, sort of opposing this default view of being the bad guys. And especially politics play a very important role here, because the CCC was founded in 1981 with 1984 in mind, with that view of an Orwellian state and this grim future where technology is being used to oppress people, to take control of society, and to make everybody think just in one way, which is something the hacker obviously opposes totally. So for a hacker, and especially the CCC, technology and politics are on the same level. It's not something completely different. Why? Because we are living in times where technology is more and more taking over the way we communicate, where technology is shaping our daily life, and more it's also the question of who is in control of technology, answering the question who is in control of the society. That's why access to technology has to be given to everybody on the same level. So what the CCC promotes, and what I would consider to be a general theme in the hacker scene, is that hackers are acting out of responsibility because they know, because they have already broken up that black box and looked inside, and they know, it works like this, which means you could do this, but you could also do that. So every technology has chances and risks involved, and it's very important to get into this scrutiny, into this process of really understanding how things work, because if you don't know how it works, you can't really do anything with them. And especially, it's very difficult to get creative dealing with that stuff. So this responsibility is something that's usually referred to as the hacker ethics. And funny enough, last time I was in Scotland, I had somebody telling me that, oh yeah, we are at the university and we are teaching ethical hacking. Oh, what's that? I said, funny. Because to me, ethical hacking is it's a pleonasm. It's the same for me. I know that people have a different view on this, but there is no such thing as unethical hacking. If you are a hacker, you are ethical by design. If you are not, you're not a hacker. And definitely you're probably more in the criminal range or a politician, I don't know. Something like this. So what's driving the community is a sense of a need for sharing and having information flowing freely through the community. Because the hacker knows that you just can't do everything by yourself. You're much more capable if you involve everybody else. The more you can get involved, the better. And this goes for the society as it goes for your personal creative things you are following. And as I said, I consider hackers to be artists. It's very important for any artistic creational process as well. So the hacker community is all about participation and cooperation. That's the important part. So hackers have shaped up to create their own sphere that lies a foundation for quite interesting techno-cultural achievements over the time. Because in Germany, especially with the CCC, we have taken over a role of the guys you can rely on when the really difficult questions are coming up. So the media is not really always in the position to answer what the impact of technology really is. You need somebody you can trust. But who can you trust that is paid a lot of money by big companies selling surveillance systems? They can't really answer you anything about cameras and what you can do with it. So in that sense, an open scene that is controlling itself as well is a much more capable discussion partner in that sense. And that's what the CCC is doing. And that's actually what I recommend to every hacker community out there that has trouble dealing with the public, dealing with the media, dealing with getting called bad names, and so on. So, but we are here at us Electronica. And although it's not all about art, there's a lot of art going on. And I've always considered the hacker approach to technology and the hacker approach to dealing with the world as being an art form. As it's a process that comes out of chaos, doesn't really follow any financial guidelines in the first place. I mean, in the end, you have to pay your stuff, but it's not about money. It's more about the process. So I would say hacking as a process of dealing with technology, dealing with things, breaking things, is art. On the other hand, hackers are artists because they are following the same approach. And I would even stress the point that I would consider every good artist to be a hacker, at least in their mind, in their mindset, in their approach, in the way they're dealing, especially with technology now. I mean, we're here at Ars Electronica. It's obviously the place where we have finally accepted that art and technology can go well together, and there are new opportunities coming up. But by looking at what especially the media art scene has done and is usually doing, I often find a lack of understanding of technology. Many times you have the artist that's just coming into the room and saying, oh, I've got a wonderful idea. I just have no idea how to do it. So they have this general approach in mind that technology should do something for them, should be expressed in some kind of exposition or installation. But more than once, they lack the real understanding of technology. And out of this comes flawed technology, because they acquire external people doing the programming for them, who might be good coders, who might be good technicians, who might be good hardware designers and whatnot, but on the other hand, usually lack the same spirit by approaching the project itself. So then you end up with something that doesn't really fit, something that is not really expressing itself in the original sense that it was conceived by the artist. So I can only recommend that learning here, and learning is also a lot about sharing information, learning is the key element in order to approach art that is combining technology. So it's very important to follow a path where you're using technology in a natural way. Natural in the sense that you are looking at the nature of technology, what it's meant to do in the first place, what its style is while it develops, and how you can use that style to create new things. You look at networks, you look at how displays work. One of the best examples that comes to my mind right now is, I think it's the winner of the Golden Nika this year, this wonderful project, I forgot the name, I'm afraid, where you're turning a camera into a projector. Because you look at the technology, you understand that it's basically both things. It takes pictures, but in the same way, just because of how it's designed, it can produce pictures as well. So you put a flashlight behind it, you have a flashlight detector, and hoopla, you have created something completely new. And this is only possible because you really take a very close look at the technology first, understand it, know how it works, and then it's just a couple of minutes later that you're done. So spend more time, that's what I say. So also, it's very important to apply the principles of sharing and participation to your project, because you can only benefit from that. So, and now I will give you an idea of what I'm talking about by referring to a project that's now very old. I'm almost ashamed to show it because it's 6 years old, but in a way, it's still alive. And actually, this year it's more alive than ever. I will come to this later. And it's called Blinken Lights. It's a while ago, we had the opportunity of getting our hands on a building that was basically empty. Actually, we just wanted to have a party. You know, we were looking for a good place to do that. And, well, we thought that building might be it. Actually, we moved over to the next space that you see there on the right. the huge dome, and then things just got bigger and bigger. And while we were in this crazy moment of overestimating our abilities, we thought, well, we should do something with this empty building. And the vision of understanding a building as a display is something that's built into every hacker. People have approached us later and said, like, oh, what a wonderful idea. How did you come up with that? And I always said, how could you not come up with that idea? It's so fucking obvious. So we wanted to do something with it. And first we came up just with simple ideas. And we had to do a couple of things. First, we had to do it very fast. We only had 5 weeks' time. We had to do it crazily cheap because there was no money, you know, available really. And also we were focusing from the beginning not so much creating artwork, but we wanted to have a platform. That was our initial idea, that the building itself is more of a platform and less of an object on its own. That it's something that people can adopt for their own purposes, where they can contribute, where they can participate. And that's what we did. We invited everybody to participate. We were focusing on creating tools that enable people to do animations and crazy other stuff, and they did. So we tried not to create a shrine that was just like, oh, isn't it beautiful? Look at it. Love it. Go away. No, we wanted to have something that everybody could play with. So we were inviting the public, and we were actually dedicating this installation to the public. And I want to point out two specific features that played a very active role here. First of all, we wanted everybody to be able to use it as a gaming console. So we opened up the opportunity to control the Pong game, the classic Pong game, with your mobile phone. And the second thing that was coming up was something we didn't really plan. Because people sent in animations, people sent in crazy movies, it was awesome stuff, lots of hours invested and really handcrafting pixel by pixel all these movies, designing it. And then people came up and calling us and saying, you know, I have this really cool animation here and it's for my girlfriend and could you please show it tomorrow night at 8? Of course, we were totally unprepared and we didn't know what to do. So, but on the other hand, we really had to do something about this. So I just put it into our playlist of ever-revolving animations, and then people started calling me, and who is Claudia? You know, it's running all the time. So this didn't work. So we applied it to the situation by integrating it into the game. So we turned the building into an interactive love letter display system because they could just invoke their personal letter with their mobile phone. And that worked like crazy. Half of the animations we got were just love letters, marriage proposals, all that stuff. To get an idea of how this all looked like and felt, I'm going to show you, hope I will, a video that is a short version of our whole documentation video so you can get an idea what was going on there.
From dusk till dawn, Blinken Lights continuously showed a variety of alternating animations on its monochrome matrix, 8 pixels high by 18 across. By offering various options for participation, the CCC invited everyone to get involved in this interactive installation. The name of the work was derived from the hacker's jargon for flashing computer consoles, Blinken Lights. By dialing the Blinken Lights computer with a mobile phone, passers-by can play the classic computer game Pong on the giant screen. Typically, players are pitted against the computer, but if someone else dials in, they get to take over the paddle usually controlled by the computer. The game is going on as long as the connection remains established. When everybody is hung up, Blinken Lights carried on to show its almost endless archive of specially designed movies, until the next person decides to go for another game of Pong. The installation used the top 8 floors of the house of the teacher. Behind the scenes, the pixels were brought to life by 144 floodlights standing directly behind the windows. The windows have been painted white to make them more translucent. Each light was connected to a simple relay switching the electricity source. From each relay, a long control cable spanned the distance to the control center in the 8th floor, totaling more than 5 kilometers of cable in the whole building. The control center consisted of 3 computers, interconnected via a local area network. Each system was running self-developed software under the GNU Linux operating system. And this is how interaction with Blinken Lights works. People either send their Blinken Lights movies by email or directly call the system with their mobile phone. The Chaos Control Center computer manages the animation playlist or reacts to incoming calls, effectively starting the Pong game at that very moment. The images to be displayed are constantly transmitted to the Matrix Control computer that is attached to the relays and is responsible for actually switching the individual lights on and off. This wild setup of cables actually worked flawlessly for 166 days and demonstrated that the hacker's approach to technology is sometimes pretty unconventional.
So, you can see this building that just popped up in the city attracted a lot of ideas from people, which we then had the opportunity to react to because it was running for almost half a year. And they were coming up with all these wonderful ideas what to do with it, like the love letter feature that I just explained. But the biggest benefit we had was that the appreciation of the artwork was so big because we were so openly sharing and offering participation. And after the project finished, we went further and did things that I can only recommend to everybody who is doing similar projects in any way to do as well. We released all the software we were using. So everything we created was documented, and all the code that was being created was just brought out in the public in order to be modified and shared and probably enhanced. We also shared most of our hardware designs that made sense. So everything was documented. In the end, it just took a year, and the whole documentation ended up in an O'Reilly book explaining how to hack building-sized displays in general, taking a reference to Blinken Lights. But if you want to do something like this, here's how to do it. It's a general how-to now. So, and we were also sharing our approach, not only in these talks, also by documenting our intentions, our motivations on the website and going ahead. And the result was that people were taking that software, taking that idea, and were creating all kinds of new displays that had the same or other dimensions replicas of any kind. There's a huge scene now of blinking lights replicas and further enhanced models, things you can just attach to your suit and it's blinking and wireless stuff and thingies. Things we couldn't have done at all. So the art project itself reaches out far further than the project itself. It's getting adopted by a huge community and lives on and sort of never dies, which is the biggest fun of it. So everybody should open up the interfaces to whatever you're doing and promote collaboration. That's something I want to tell. I'm very happy to be able to announce that although our project is 6, in the case of the second one, 5 years ago, we're going ahead and have the opportunity to do it again pretty soon. We're going to Canada, to Toronto. We have the opportunity of laying our hands on this gorgeous Toronto City Hall building in downtown Toronto, which is going to be very, very different to what we've done before, because as you can see, it's curved, it's two towers, it's asymmetric, it's everything all the other buildings haven't been. So that's about to start around in a month. So, and we are, again, calling for animators, programmers, people who come up with crazy ideas to participate in that project, because, again, this is going to be a platform. It's something we just create. We build the technology, the foundation. We are sharing our documentation on the web, and we invite people to participate and take over, in a way. So we're also going to share our new hardware technology, and we're using Creative Commons here, the hardware design of our wireless dimming equipment, which we just created because it was easier to create something completely new and build it than rent professional equipment. So we are about to share that as well, so that everybody can do this, given has enough money to, you know, build that stuff. And again, all the new software that's being created will be opened up and licensed on a free license. So let me wrap up. I think that art should not be so much just focusing on itself, the shrine I was talking about. Imagine art projects as being something you contribute, because it's also this little thing with ideas. Jochai has already explained this very well. There is no original idea. Everything people come up with, it has been here already in one form or the other. And you just build on top of it and on top of it and on top of it. People who are calling us, like, I don't know, the first, the greatest, whatever, I could only tell them, like, it's not that we were the first ones doing this. There had been other installations that were bigger, more colorful and whatnot, older, you know, have been interactive and all that. It was just happening that the package we were building there was sort of attracting for people to take a second look at it. But the ideas we had in order to do this were not really that creative at all. It was the process that was creative, and the way, the approach we were sharing that with the public. So it's all about the people. It's not so much about the piece itself. And I can only recommend every media artist to get into technology in a way they've probably not done it before, the hacker approach, understanding the essence of technology, how it works. Because once you're planning something like this, or whatever it might be, the rest is just a logical path that comes out of understanding the technology as such. And we learn even that artists must learn. Oops, and again, my technology doesn't work the way I expected. So, keep it simple, stupid, that's the best thing you can do. And as I said before, openness and sharing is king. So I say thank you for listening to what I've had to say to you. If you're interested, blinkinglights.net is hosting the information on our next project. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.
Thank you, Tim.